we remember the Lord and take the Lord's Supper. You probably heard the phrase before, this changes everything. And we're hopeful that the vaccine that is out for this virus that is going out, that somehow we will get to herd immunity and it will change everything and we'll be able to take our mask off and go about living the way that we used to live. There are a lot of things throughout the course of history that you can really say, this changed everything. Maybe it was the printing press. You think of the printing press, that changed everything. That gave the Bible to every person and we were able to read the Bible for ourselves. That changed everything. The internet changed everything. Now you can go and look at the internet, you can look all kinds of stuff up. The telephone changed everything. Thank you. Taking the mask off changes everything. Now you can hear me. The telephone changes everything. The automobile, the airplane, all of these things changed life for a whole bunch of different people. Not only the people that were living then, but the people like us who lived afterwards. In our lifetime, there are things that have happened that changed everything. 9/11, probably all of us can remember what happened on 9/11. Remember where you were? I was in New Jersey doing a workshop called Communicating with Tact and Finesse. And our first break, nobody came back to the workshop. Hardly anybody came back. They all went home. It changed everything that day. In our individual lives, there have been things that have changed everything. The day you got married changed everything for the better. Right? Changed everything for the better. It gave us someone else to spend our life with and to enjoy the things of life and help us overcome the challenges of this life. When you had kids, that changed everything. For some of you, when you are a little bit beyond where I am, when you had grandkids, that's another event that has changed everything in your life and everything in the life of those people around you. But there is one event that has changed everything for the entire history of the world and for us individually, and that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That changed everything. As we're talking about in the book of Romans, it changes from having a system of law and works to having a system of grace. That changed everything. And I'm so grateful that it did for us. Paul starts out the letter in Romans chapter 1, making sure that we understand what he's going to talk about this entire letter, and we understand that what Jesus did changed everything. Let's read the first four verses of Romans chapter 1. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. His death and his resurrection changed everything. If you flip over to chapter 6, he continues that same theme of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and how when we as individuals imitate that, when we're baptized into Christ and we kill our old man and we rise to walk a new life, that changed everything for us. Our entire life was different from that moment on. Romans 6 and verse 8 says this, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an amazing concept. He says, reckon yourself, be dead to sin and alive to God. Changes everything when we're baptized into Jesus Christ and we have our sins forgiven. We're a new creature. We live a different life. Well, in our text this morning, we're covering Romans chapter 13 and 14. So I invite you to look at Romans chapter 14, and we're going to take the rest of our thoughts from verses 7 and 9. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 9. It says, for not one of us lives for himself. Now, I'm reading out of the New American Standard updated version. A lot of your versions might say two. The better thought process is four. For not one of us lives for himself. Not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. So all of us who are here today, all of us who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and we've raised the walk of new life, not a single one of us lives for ourselves any longer. We live for the one who died for us. Everything we do is centered around that. I'm going to look at a couple other passages in the Bible that point this out. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read the first four verses of 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at the reason that we live differently. It's always surrounded by Jesus, right? It's surrounded by what he did for us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. The point is, we've ceased from sin. Our life is different. Coming into Christ has changed everything. He says similar thoughts in Philippians chapter 1, 19 through 20. Philippians 1, 19 through 22 says this. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We live for him. We live a totally different life. And the passage that we're familiar with in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, which basically comes down and tells us that we're to flee sexual immorality because our body is not our own. We have been bought for a price. Peter tells us that we have not been bought with corruptible things like gold or silver, but we've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And knowing that and thinking about that and coming into contact with that blood and having our sins forgiven has changed everything in our lives. Back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, we'll read verse 9 again. The reason our life has changed, the reason we no longer live for ourselves and die for ourselves, is because Jesus Christ did not live for himself. And he did not die for himself. He didn't come down here in this earth for himself. He didn't suffer. He didn't go through all the things that are mentioned in the Bible, all the suffering, the death, the relationship issues, the loneliness. He didn't go all through all that for himself. He did it for us. Verse 9 of Romans chapter 14 says this, for to this end, or for this reason, why we don't live for ourselves, die for ourselves, why we belong to Christ, for that reason, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. What Jesus did was he came to this earth to buy us back and to rescue us from the clutches of the evil one. Chapter 6 again talks about slavery, right? We were slaves of the devil. We were slaves of sin. But when we came in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, now we are slaves of the Lord, or we belong to him, is what it talks about in this passage. That's why those lyrics that we just sang, I had Tim leave that song for us. They're so powerful. He was threatened for me. He was slandered for me. Every thorn that went into his head, He did that for me. Every nail that held him to the cross, he did that for me. Every tear that he cried in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did that for me. He was broken for us so that we can be mended and whole and live for him. What a great Savior we have that was willing to do all of that, not for himself, but for us. And in turn, we turn our life over to him, we cease from sin, and we live a life that brings him honor and glory. Let's think about those things as we remember the Lord this morning.